Hey, Jen, I got a knock-knock joke for you.
Go ahead.
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Why?
Why who?
Why do people buy? My amazing ebook is available right now, and even better, it's completely free. Figuring out why people buy is 1,000 times more powerful than knowing how to sell. And this ebook will give you the insight that will allow you to uncover the genuine buying motive of your customer every single time.
Plus, and this is no joke, you don't have to knock down any doors to buy it. It's free. And the link is in the show notes.
That for me was exciting, but it wasn't like one moment. To be honest, I didn't want to do it at all. I didn't think customer service was sexy or attractive. I was kind of embarrassed. it's really changed now.
No, but that's so huge, Blake, because that's the experience that so many of our listeners have. They sort of stumble into something, or they go from job to job, and then they suddenly discover, hey, I can be an expert in this.
Yep. Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time.
Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls.
I'm tweeting that puppy.
Okay. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sell or Die, America, no global premier podcast for sales and personal development. My name is Jeffrey Gittimer. I wrote The Little Red Book of Selling and The Sales Manifesto.
And hey, everybody, my name is Jen Gluckow, and I'm the author of Sales in a New York Minute. What's up? We are glad you're here. We know you have lots of different podcast options. Thank you for choosing ours.
Seriously, have you listened to the other people talk about sales?
I mean, ours is the best, but I still want to say thanks. I'm grateful.
Yeah, thank you very much for not listening to our competitors. So, Jen Gluckow, by the way, for those of you who don't know, is one hell of a woman.
Aw.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you.
No problem, honey, no problem. I just, you know, they don't know.
Oh, yeah, you don't, they don't.
Yeah,
but that's,
you know,
okay.
You'll
listening
and
you're, know.
You have you'll to visualize.
Know.
You know what I mean? So why don't we talk about who our guest today is going to be?
All right. Who's the guest?
I think it's the great Blake Morgan.
Yes, it is. And she's the author of More is More, How the Best Companies Work Harder and Go Farther to Create Knock Your Socks Off Customer Experiences.
More for Morgan?
Yep.
Got it.
Yeah. My middle name is Blake, by the way.
Yeah. And yeah, thanks for sharing that.
I like to tell that to everyone.
Yeah. For all you Blakes out there, both of you. We appreciate
your listenership.
They're
usually male. They're usually male.
So what's going on?
I got to talk about something for a second.
All right, go ahead.
This has just been on my mind.
All right.
A lot. Okay. Right. So this lady sent me an email, and she's in one of my coaching groups.
Yeah.
And the subject was question.
Yeah.
And she said, good morning, Jennifer. How do I develop the skill to be a better businesswoman? For lack of a better description, and then in all bold, she wrote, I need to think like a man with a question mark.
Well, that's
interested in your ideas.
Don't throw that one to me because I'll be accused of being a pig.
So here's what I said. You don't need to think like a man. You need to think like yourself. So diehards out there, whether you're a man or a woman, it doesn't really matter. You need to think however you think, and your customers will appreciate you for your thoughts.
I'm going to modify that for just a moment. You can think like the domination in your industry. If you are a male-dominated industry, for example, if you're selling tractors and trailers, you may want to think about how they think and how they convey messages, especially the most successful ones. You don't want to think like a gender. You want to think like a successful person.
Absolutely. And so as males or as females, you have many benefits to being whatever gender you are can lean into.
And Jen's favorite color is plaid. She doesn't want to hurt anybody.
No. Okay. Let me give you an example. So we haven't aired the episode yet, but the Heather Ballantyne, who sells Lambos in Canada, came.
Lambo, and, by the way, for the it's not a field in Green
in
Bay, Wisconsin. It is a car.
Okay, so Heather was talking about how everyone else on the floor is a male, but the fact that she's a female means that she uses her female strengths in a way. She doesn't try to be a male. She uses her female strengths, okay? So some of her strengths, and maybe males might have this strength too, but some of her personal strengths were that she's a great listener. She's great at designing the inside of the car. And she loves to get really deep involved in that in a way that some of her sales team members, I don't know, the other people
Heather
on the floor
also
don't.
Has balls.
Yeah, she has balls, Jeffrey, but she thinks like herself. And that's my point here. I don't want you as a diehard, I don't want you to think that you have to think like someone else or be like someone else. Your customers need to appreciate you for you.
I agree. I totally agree with that. Okay, so we're now in harmony. Anything else on your mind?
This is just going to be an awesome week, guys. I feel it. This week
Me
is
too.
Awesome.
Rainy, 50. Couldn't be any better.
It's not snowing.
Oh, okay, cool.
What's on your mind?
My mind is relatively blank today because I've been up since 5 o'clock in the morning. I would, however, like to talk about how you believe in what it is that you do and how that's conveyed to other people. But I think it's too deep of a subject. I think we're going to do a show pretty soon of just Jen and I to talk about attitude and belief. We're going to be the guests.
Yeah.
So we can interview ourselves.
I love it. I love it. That's going to be fun.
Yep. And you can tell people how you got to Charlotte.
Okay. You know, we just wrapped up the 2020 Sales Vision Facebook group.
Yep.
If you're interested in joining the group, it is too late at the moment because we're busy serving our members in that group and going live in there and answering their questions right now. But you can go to 2020salesvision.com. And put your name on the waiting list for the next time we open those doors.
I would tell you that the other day I was in Key Largo, Florida. Was it the other day or yesterday?
It was like yesterday.
Okie dokie. And I gave a Facebook Live to our group on how I get ready for a seminar. And I'll tell you, it was interesting to me because having done thousands of these, I've never actually gone on the record as to how I do it. And it was pretty revealing to me. Like, people were following me around to, you know, to listen to how I get set up and get ready to go in the morning. But I'll tell you, I was doing it on 4 hours of sleep. I prepped my ass off for this particular seminar, and I went through the whole process of how I do what I do. And it's a very, you know, to speak for a living, it can be lucrative if you do it right. And I think that many of the members that are in our 2020 Sales Vision group secretly want to be a speaker.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So it was really cool. It got great feedback.
Yeah.
I've been going live in there also. It's a lot of fun. I hope you'll join us. It's only $20 a month. I mean, it's like seriously the best investment some people have made.
Yeah, it's for nothing.
It's amazing. Okay, so before we get to Blake, we have a 5-star review. Nada.
Here we go. Matt writes, seriously, my new favorite podcast. Jeffrey and Jen give me new sales advice that I take into my sales day and turn into money.
Money.
What's up? I love that.
Matt, go. Is it Matt, my son-in-law?
The different Matt. Matt, thank you so much. That is so freaking awesome. We love it. Listeners, diehards, please, we beg you, give us a 5-star review.
Yeah,
we'll read it on the show. And now, on to Blake.
The great Blake Morgan?
Oh, yeah. Blake's going to get
Jen and I are looking at each other like, who's going to introduce Blake Morgan? She's sure it's me. I'm sure it's her.
Okay, I can do it.
No, I'm going to give it to you.
Okay, go.
Blake Morgan gives examples of how you can individually stand out in a place with a bad customer service culture. Whoa. Blake gives us a snippet from her book on what the do more method is when it comes to the customer experience and how analytics are playing and will continue to play a large part in the customer experience. Take a listen to the great Blake Morgan.
Diehards, please help me welcome the great Blake Morgan. She is a keynote speaker, and get ready for this one because I love this term, a customer experience futurist.
Right. She can predict when crap is going to happen at any particular big company.
That's a very good skill to have. Yep. She's the author of More is More, How the Best Companies Work Harder and Go Farther to Create Knock Your Socks Off Customer Experiences. She's an adjunct faculty at the Rutgers Executive Education MBA program. That's a mouthful,
yep.
But a great program.
Exit
and
nine.
She's the host of the Modern Customer Podcast and a weekly experience video series on YouTube. So please help me welcome the great Blake Morgan.
Very nice intro, Jen.
Thank you.
Oh, pleasure. Well, so, Blake, how are you?
I am doing well. Thank you so much for that enthusiastic intro. I'm excited to be on your podcast. I like the name, Sell or Die. I love drama. For me, that's everything.
We're yeah, straight to the
many,
point.
We don't kill many people, two or three a week, and that's it. what is the modern customer?
The modern customer expects a seamless, zero-friction, personalized customer experience. She's getting that from Amazon. She's getting it from Netflix. She's getting it from Spotify. But she might not be getting it from you.
Ooh.
So that's really a problem for businesses today because they need to figure out how they can cater to this customer who has very high demands.
So I have two questions based on that. Number one is, how do you know, especially for our people who have hired others, so how do you know if you're providing that to your customers?
The first step is actually counterintuitive. You have to talk to your employees because your employees that are in front of customers every day, they know what's going on. They're the first to be alerted to potential problems, like red flags with your products or services. So your frontline employees actually know how happy your customers are or not. So the first step is to find out, like, what are our customers saying? How are they actually experiencing our product or service? Because so often executives have no idea how customers are actually experiencing the product or service, and that's a problem. And my whole thing is reality, is being real, with our customers, being real with our employees, getting basically actual feedback about how customers are using our products and services, and actual feedback from our employees about how it's going in the factory, on the front line, on the phones, in the call center. And so I think some of the most transformational leaders today when it comes to customer experience, they have given themselves a reality check and they're happy to get honest feedback every single day about what's happening with their business. And I think brands that are stuck in the ivory tower, you know, they never come down, they never talk to employees, they never talk to customers. This is the old way of doing business. The leaders today that are transformational are in that world of reality check. They want the real raw feedback and data, and they're not afraid of it.
So I think that most of our customers, when we're salespeople, are eager to give us that feedback, and especially when it's bad. And they want to vent to us as salespeople. But then what a lot of our diehards experience is that they hear all these things, they want to fix it for the customer because it's their reputation too that's on the line, but they can't necessarily single-handedly fix the customer experience on their own. So what do you recommend our salespeople do? Because they're in this weird situation where they're hearing it from the customer, but then they have to follow whatever the company is telling them they can or can't do.
Yeah, this is a tough one. People always come up to me and they want to change their company, but they don't know what to do because they don't always have the influence necessary. And I actually tell them some tough love. What I tell them is that you want to work for a company that has a really strong culture, a company that is employee focused and customer focused, because I've worked in big companies where you want to do the right thing. You want to make change, but you're only one small cog in a very, very large system and you are limited. So if you're not working for a company that is transformational, that embraces employee experience, embraces customer experience, does the right thing. Like you say, when your salespeople want to provide the best experience, you want to work for a company that has that in their culture. And if you don't, honestly, I would start looking for another company, because it's just too hard to be that one change agent where you think you're going to change your company. But let me give you an example of how people can do little things that really does make an impact. I was recently on a flight to Australia, and before the flight launched, it's a 15-hour flight, the captain came out of the cabin, the pilot, and he gave us these little business cards that said thank you in a ton of different languages. And the card said, "We would not be here without you. And thank you so much. And if there's anything I can do to be of service, please let me know." And he provided us with his Gmail address.
Wow.
Which I'm sure United Airlines, right, didn't want this rogue pilot to give out his Gmail address to, you know, a couple dozen passengers on this flight. But he did it because he cares so deeply. He is not afraid to go a little rogue to do the right thing for the customer. And while I'm sure United Operations isn't that excited that employees are giving their personal email out, I mean, if you are brave enough and in the moment you want to do something that's a little bold, I mean, you can do it, but you do risk getting in trouble. But it's great that even at some of these big companies, you see these little shining examples of people who care so much about the customer experience and the integrity of the experience that they're willing to stick their neck out, like this example of this pilot.
I was flying first class one day in the old U.S. Airways, and there was eight people in the front cabin. And a guy comes out, the flight attendant comes out. He says, "Hi, my name is Dennis. Thanks for your business and welcome to your flight." And then he shook my hand, and he shook the hand of the guy next to me. And I said to my seatmate, I said, "Do you fly a lot?" He goes, "Yeah, all the time." I said, "Flight attendant ever shake hands with you before?" He said, "No, it was the first time." That was the first time for me too. Like 20 years of flying, no one had ever said, "Thanks for your business," and just shook my hand.
Yeah.
Such a simple thing. By the way, his name was Dennis. And that's what you remember.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway, wow. I've had a lot of jackass flight attendants, and I can't remember the names. Two things that I wanted to talk to you about, customer experience. Number one, in today's world, 1 to 5 defines customer experience in TripAdvisor, in Yelp, on Amazon. And so you're immediately rated on what you do based
Uber.
On – huh? Uber.
Uber.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody who has a strong online presence wants that feedback. And they do it to their employees or the product or the book. Blake, you're about to get rated. When your book comes out in the marketplace, someone's going to go on Amazon, buy your book, and give you a star one way or the other. So you're going to be the personal living example of, hey, here's my own rating. The second thing is, you said people are demanding. They actually are demanding because they have an expectation. And that expectation is, I want 2-day delivery. I want 1-day delivery. I want it now. Domino's Pizza.
So knowing that people are demanding and that they're going to give you a rating, how can we communicate with our customers in a different way? What do you recommend?
Yeah, so it's all about humility, about integrity, about doing the right thing. Because even when the companies get terrible ratings, like on Yelp, we as customers appreciate the company that is willing to fix it, that responds to the unhappy customer and says, "Hey, so sorry for your experience. Let me make it right." So even if you do get poor ratings, companies have this wonderful opportunity to publicly fix that issue. And I would say you might win customers over even more so had you just gotten high reviews, because people value that integrity and commitment to the relationship. Yes, we do live in a society where many of our services are rated. It's challenging because, I mean, me personally, I wouldn't give a review unless I am extremely happy and I personally care about the person that, let's say, served me at a restaurant or gave me a manicure. If I want to really help them in their life, I might go do a review. Or if I were really, really unhappy or angry, then I would do a review. But I mean, it's just hard to say what these review, like, unless you're really happy or really angry, I mean, there's just not a lot in between. So, I mean, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing that we're being rated, but you always have to take it with a grain of salt because there's a lot of factors that go into it. So, I mean, yeah, you're right, guys. We live in a society where you're getting rated, but if you get a poor rating, hey, that's a great opportunity to fix the experience and to do it publicly.
This is Christy Walters.
And I'm Jeff Bajorek. Together, we host the Why and the Buy podcast, and we are pumped to be a part of the Sell or Die podcast network.
The Why and the Buy is a show about tackling sales and leadership challenges that salespeople and small business owners face every single day.
While we have a lot of fun doing it.
I'm a dad. I'd like to think I'm not a terrible dad, but I'm a dad, and I make bad jokes.
I love it. That's what happens when you start a podcast.
If you like making a lot of money and being super successful, then sure, I suppose.
Jeff and I have been there. We've lived through it, and we're here to share the lessons we've learned. So subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Stitcher, or wherever you get podcasts. And remember, when you know your why.
Your hows and your whats get much better. We'll talk to you again real soon.
And mic drop.
I don't know. If I'm on eBay and I'm going to buy something and somebody has 10 negative ratings, even if they have 1,000 positive ratings, I'm not going to do business with them.
That's common sense. But I mean, I'm talking about companies that if you're listening to this episode of this podcast, you care about customer experience. You're probably not one of those losers that just sells horrible, broken products to people and hope they don't notice. I mean, these are companies that are trying to do the right thing and having missteps along the way. But yeah, you're right. I mean, if you're on eBay, you're not going to buy a product from someone who has like 20% positive ratings.
Well, if you're a diehard out there,
I'm talking more about like Yelp or TripAdvisor or review sites. You know, that are it's not necessarily eBay. And yeah, these companies that are getting 1 out of 5 stars like 20 times in a row, that company is going to go out of business. No
yeah,
question.
For sure. Well, they changed their name and now look like a
right. So, but if you're a diehard and you want to rate us, we'll go for a 5-star.
That's right. Yeah, 5-star reviews on iTunes.
And we read them, by the way. If you write us a nice one, we'll read it for you.
So I want to know, how did you get into this?
Yeah, that's a great question. 10 years ago, I lived in New York City. I thought it would be cool, like, you know, the show Sex and the City with Carrie Bradshaw, you remember?
Of course.
I wanted to be like her. I wanted to move to New York and be a fabulous journalist. But the world had another plan in store for me because there was really no journalism industry anymore. Like, there were no jobs. And so I saw the writing on the wall. And I actually got recruited by a conference company. And that was the beginning of all of this. I started producing conferences about Web 2.0. Do you remember when we called it that?
Oh, yeah.
Social media. And later had the chance to make this conference company into a media company with a podcast. I did tons of video interviews and built this whole online magazine about customer management, which is what we called it. I had a podcast show called Customer Creation with Blake Landau, which was my maiden name. And I just always found it fascinating. So I stayed with it. I actually worked in customer service for a Fortune 500 company. And just even though I didn't always stay exactly in customer experience or customer service, all of the things that I did, whether working for startups and doing marketing or doing influencer engagement and social media, because of this digital shift with brands moving to social media and this change in consumer behavior because of social media, it led me to this point now where I've been writing about customer experience for 5 years on Forbes. I've been speaking at conferences for years about the topic. And it's really good timing because now all of a sudden customer experience has reached this crescendo where people get it. They want to talk about it. They want to improve at it. And so I've been really lucky to continue to be able to do this full time. And I'm having a really good time, honestly. I feel very grateful to be here.
Blake, when you were recruited out of journalism, did you, in that first experience, did you immediately know that this was your calling? Like, when did you have that aha moment that, oh man, I'm in the thing that I want to do?
You know, I really didn't want to do it, to be honest. I got recruited to be a customer service to be a social media program manager. So to help a big company do a better job at social media customer service. I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to work in customer service. I was on the content side. I thought, I don't want to do this. But I did it to get into this big company, to get some corporate experience. And honestly, it ended up being amazing because I had this niche. And so that was really the genesis of it. But I wouldn't say there was this one moment where I knew. I would say that when I was working at the big company and my Forbes column started to do well, I was making a name for myself with customer service. I thought, you know, this actually is a really good niche. And because there aren't a lot of people that do this or write about it, I'm starting to get a reputation. And that for me was exciting. But it wasn't like one moment. To be honest, I didn't want to do it at all. I didn't think customer service was sexy or attractive. I was kind of embarrassed. But it's really changed now.
No, but that's so huge, Blake, because that's the experience that so many of our listeners have. They sort of stumble into something, or they go from job to job, and then they suddenly discover, hey, I could be an expert in this.
Yep. I like this. Yeah, serendipity shows up, and they come to an aha moment. But what do you recommend now? Where is the future of the customer experience? What am I looking at over the next year? Because I can't predict past that.
Yeah, I mean, the future of customer experience is all about digital transformation, about turning your company into a data and technology company. So you're seeing companies like Allstate. I interviewed the CEO at CES, and he says, Allstate, we're not an insurance company anymore. We're a data and technology company. And that's really the future, is using data, analytics, technology to find ways to make the customer's life easier and better, and to truly break down the silos at your organization, because customers experience most companies in a very siloed stop and start fashion, where you don't have a seamless omni-channel zero friction experience from sales to service to marketing, because inside the company that's not happening. It's still very siloed. So the future is all about breaking down those silos internally, thinking about your organizational structure, thinking about things like logistics and supply chain, going through an internal digital transformation in order to serve this customer that expects this seamless zero friction experience across your business.
I think that there is an opportunity to be a little bit more specific about, if I'm in my company, I sell insurance. How is that data going to help me get to the next level?
Well, if your listeners are in sales, I think insurance is a great example, because we can now use predictive analytics to think about what is the customer going to need in the future. And that's actually, insurance is one of the easiest examples, because if you think about it, let's say a couple moves into a house, they need homeowner's insurance. They're going to have kids in about 16 years, the kids are going to be driving, another insurance you can sell them. But insurance companies are pretty terrible at being there for the customer and predicting what they'll need next. And so the way you shop for insurance is you go online, you do all the work. But the company has this opportunity to do the work for you, to think about what is going on in your life personally, Jeffrey, and how what you'll need next, whether that's insurance for new drivers in the house, or a new roof because there's been a hurricane in North Carolina, or these are just a couple examples.
Wow, I love that. I think that the best insurance people, salespeople, are doing that right now without even, you know, having some big database. Just they're doing that naturally
totally.
For their customers.
Yeah.
But to have access to some sort of like automated reminder that Johnny's kid is going to start driving in, you know, 6 months. That's amazing. I love that.
Yeah. And I think that it's going to boil down to how you use the data, not just having the data.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So let's talk about your book for a second. So your book, More is More, How the Best Companies Work Harder and Go Farther to Create Knock Your Socks Off Customer Experiences. Talk to us about the do more method, that the framework that you've created.
So when I wrote the book, I was very frustrated because I was sick of my peers throwing the terms customer experience and customer service around interchangeably. That didn't make sense to me because customer service is what happens when something breaks. Customer experience is shaped by so much more. Even by all of your listeners, they do sales. Well, their work impacts customer experience. That's not service. And so I created this framework to base the book off of. And this framework are the six guiding principles for how I break down customer experience. So how is your product designed? Is there a feedback loop where customers are telling you how they actually use the product and you're thinking about that as you engineer the next version of it or make fixes on it? How do we treat employees? Employee experience, that has a huge impact on customer experience. And actually, my husband wrote a book about this, The Employee Experience Advantage, and he did a ton of research and found that companies that do employee experience well are 4.2 times more profitable than companies that don't. Wow. That's a huge one. Yes?
That's cool.
Okay.
No, I think that's an obvious wild thing. What's the next?
The third piece of the framework is modernizing with technology. So how are we continuing to think about how technology can improve our business, create more efficiencies? Also, culture. How do we talk about customers in the company? Are customers talked about as unwanted guests? Do we only care about sales no matter what happens to the customer? Or do executives have a servant leadership mentality where they really deeply care about the actual experience of the customer? Metrics. So in our own lives, we work towards certain metrics. We want to save money or we want to buy a house. We got to save money. We got to look at how much money we make. KPIs, key performance indicators. What are they? For in a sales environment, is it simply revenue? Like how much money are we making? Or are we looking at things like customer satisfaction, customer loyalty? And then lastly, our approach to embracing disruption and innovation, because some of the most powerful companies today are absolutely willing to disrupt themselves in order to survive. And so those are the six pieces of the Do More framework, which if you break them down, I think it'd be really powerful for even your listeners to workshop this at their own companies to think, what is our approach to product design? Is it customer centric? How about employee experience? Is that something we even talk about? What is our culture? And so this has been pretty popular just to get people thinking about what is customer experience and how does it break down at my own company?
Who is setting the standard in our marketplace for doing it the best way possible?
That was legitimately, literally my question. I love that. Yeah.
Wow, you guys are reading each other's mind. This is a good podcast host relationship. I like it.
We're a TV.
We have a pretty deep relationship for sure.
that I imagine that is necessary. The best company, Amazon. Love them or hate them, they are the most customer centric company in the world. And I actually went to Amazon because I wanted to see what is the secret sauce? Why is this company so incredibly successful? And when I spent 2 days there, what I found really shocked me. What I found is that there is no secret sauce. The secret sauce is that they are simply customer focused and it's in the culture. It's in everything they do. Most companies are product focused. They care about what's going on with them internally. They make life harder on the customer to make it easier on their own brand. And I bet you too have experienced this as customers when you have to do a return or there's something wrong with an experience. The company makes you do all the legwork to fix it. Whereas Amazon has thought so much about things like automation, about the prime, you know, 2-day delivery. They're really thinking about the customer journey and they're obsessed with making customers' lives easier and better. And I met, for example, a VP of logistics who was willing to go on 2 a.m. truck drive to understand, well, what is our employee experience like? What's going on with our deliveries? And he was willing to go on a 2 a.m. drive to figure that out. Most employees are not willing to do that. And it's kind of insane if you go there. It's like they're all drinking the Kool-Aid I've never seen that at another company.
Right. So Blake, we've been talking a lot about B2C business, and that makes sense, right? Because customer experience and B2C kind of go together. But I was listening to one of the latest episodes of your podcast, the Modern Customer Podcast, and you were actually discussing how customer experience can help B2B sales. How does that work?
Yeah, I mean, B2B people are just like you and me. They enjoy Spotify when they're exercising. They like Netflix at home. They buy from Amazon. Then they go to work to make a purchase for their corporation, and they don't have a seamless, zero-friction buying experience. And so there's a stat that something like only 14% of B2B cultures, B2B company cultures, are customer-centric. So B2B companies, for some reason, have not always focused on customer experience as much as consumer brands have. And why wouldn't a B2B buyer have the same expectations for a work purchase they're making as they do for an app they're using or a purchase from Amazon? So I think increasingly we'll see that these B2B companies realize that they need to compete on experience just as much as Apple, Netflix, Amazon, Spotify do.
Cool.
This has been amazing. Thank you so much for all of your insight and knowledge. And we will put your book link in the show notes and also your website in the show notes as well, so people can find you and follow up with you.
Oh my gosh. Thank you guys. You asked great questions, and I really appreciated this interview. It's, you know, podcasting is not always easy. You got to do a lot of prep beforehand. I just always appreciate when people do their homework and actually care. It's really nice. So thank you for having me on, and I wish you two only the best.
That was a great interview.
You know, Blake is very insightful about the difference between the data analytics and the actual face-to-face. But my opinion is, and I'm just going to give you my flat-out opinion, It's still a one-on-one experience business unless you're just shopping online. And even then, it can be frustrating because you feel like you're one-on-one. You know, the person comes on, they're going to Amazon or Walmart or wherever, and they want to see the experience be easy for them. They want it technologically easy, and they want it kind of friendly. And if it ain't friendly and it ain't good, give me a phone number where I can talk to somebody. I still want that human experience. And maybe it's just me because I'm old, but that's what I'm hoping for.
Well, I'm younger than you are, and just a little, and I still want that phone call experience. I don't want to chat with a bot. I want to call a person and hear them respond to me and resolve something in a 5-minute phone conversation versus a 25-minute chat because I'm trying to re-explain exactly what I'm saying.
I also want to talk about the fact that she was very explicit about what customers are expecting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's a very fine line between demand and expectation.
Oh, yeah.
And so the customer comes online and they're demanding one thing or another, whether it's a quicker delivery or a quality of a product or a price. And what do they really expect to happen? Like if I go onto an airline website to book something, I expect nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I expect somebody to tell me to shove it and here's my price. And if you don't like it, keep going. You know what I mean? And you get charged for this and you get charged for that. So my expectation is at zero.
Yeah, but I like how she differentiated between customer service is reactive and customer experience is proactive. Yeah. And so for you, Die Hard, what are you doing to create a proactive customer experience, not just through the sales process, but even afterwards, so that they're thinking of you in the right light, wanting to refer you?
I'm going to give you the best proactive expectation customer experience on the planet. You go to a doctor. They do a procedure on you, and then the doctor calls you that night to see how you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You'll tell 10 people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because it's totally unexpected.
And sometimes, depending on the doctor, they may even call you from their cell phone and say, listen, in the next 24 hours, if you need anything.
Oh, you call me on my cell phone and you save that sucker forever.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
and you know who else does that? Our vet does that.
I
anytime I take the dogs to the vet, which I promise is not often anymore.
I'm going
to
tell you this. And I'm not, I don't want to like spill any beans, but Jen did get a trophy from the veterinarian's office as customer of the year. And that was for next year.
Listen, I want to make sure our dogs are healthy, okay? I am paranoid about something. If they get a paper cut, I bring them to the vet. That's
yeah, I mean, she paid for their, like, doggy spa wing, I think.
Yeah, it says my name at the top. No, but for real, for real, if we bring the dogs, or you don't do it, so if I bring the dogs into the vet, they call me within 48 hours to see if they're feeling better.
We have a very interesting but diverse opinion about the vet and the dogs. Jen's dogs live on a pillow and get fed anything but grapes, because grapes are bad for dogs, by hand. I think it's a fucking dog. Let them figure it out. And so that's where we are on the dog scale.
They're not spoiled.
I love the dogs, but yeah, they're dogs.
So anyway, all I'm saying is they create a great experience.
That is
because
not
it
all
is
your...
so it is so unexpected to get a call from your vet to be like, how's your doggy feeling? I think it's really nice. So what are you doing, Die Hard?
To get another $50 out of Jen Gluckow. Like calling about your dog.
I swear, if you give me anything cavalier, I'll probably buy it.
Anyway, so it's obvious that this experience thing is something that's unresolved as of this moment, because the internet continues to change and get faster. And now the phone has taken over as the real internet experience, and it's littler, and you can't always see all the stuff that's on it. It's hard to navigate the pages, and the customer experience is not always the easiest.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm going to say school is out until another couple of years passes and they start to get phone friendly, not just laptop or tablet friendly. That's all I'm saying. She tried to tell you what the future was, but I don't get I don't think anybody knows the future.
It's hard to predict. Things are changing so quickly, and the analytics story changes everything and changes how we act and react to things. And I think it's really hard to predict.
And I think that you can't rely on data as your be-all, tell-all, because it just hasn't proven itself to be that way.
Now, hold on. I got to step in here, because I know certain people enjoy having to have, again, enjoy buying stuff off of Instagram based off their algorithm.
Mm. Present.
Yeah.
However.
That is so
hang
true.
Hang on a second. That doesn't mean that the experience is any better.
No.
No, but it's working. That's the key.
The data is working. They know what to advertise to you to get you to hit the buy now button.
Oh, okay. So they know how I like getting stuff off of Instagram. Like
Jeffrey buys
the
a
food
lot.
Slicer, the forks.
He'll show me this really unique kitchen gadget that we don't have and don't need. And I will be like, oh, did you get that off of Instagram? And then, like, the following week, the same thing will happen.
They have a sucker column, and I happen to be in it.
Yeah. So there's one more thing that Blake talks about that I just want to touch on real fast, which is Amazon being customer-focused rather than product-focused. And, you know, should businesses move in that direction where they're customer-focused instead of product-focused?
100%. Because you customer focus me and I'll buy your product.
See, but I think you need to be focused on both. I think you need to be focused on the customer first so that you can get them as a customer. But then if you have crappy products, they're not going to buy from you.
So do you have like a split screen?
All about my guard it. Of
all about you.
No, but like, okay, so Amazon makes it really easy for you to buy. They make the experience delightful. You know, you can add it to your cart or buy now. You can subscribe and save. There's all these things, right? But they also have products that you buy on a daily basis. It's not like they went out and said, okay, let's give them a really good experience but give them crappy products. No, they have
fine.
Both.
And
so I think it's important going forward into the future that you spend just as much time as you do on your product focusing on the customer.
I can tell you one thing about Amazon. Everybody wishes they were Amazon, and everyone tries to emulate Amazon to deliver a product, to make it easy to do business with, to resuggest a product. I mean, they're phenomenal at what they do. They totally get it, and they're totally, for me, it's a wonderful experience almost every time.
All right. I agree, Jeffrey.
Thank you, honey.
All right.
And I agree with you, too, and that's final, damn it.
All right, we have to wrap up this show. Until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, and I'm challenging you to get out there and make that customer experience so amazing that your ass doesn't fall off.
Sell or die hard. If you love the show, make sure you've subscribed.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes or give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend about the best sales podcast on the planet. Or better yet, tell both your friends.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true sell or diehard, and we thank you.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit sellordienetwork.com.